It's Thursday, the 8th of January, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader in Flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman, bringing you news from the WilliamsNews.com website, News of Williams and the Grand Canyon. And today we have these headlines. Dent, Rogers to host Highway 64 Town Hall January 11th. Short-term rental owner has big vision for Valley property, and local educator thankful for community support during her cancer bout. Turning to that first headline by Doreen Holche, Dent, Rogers to host Highway 64 Town Hall January 11th. This is from the 6th of January. Williams. Mayor Don Dent, State Senator Wendy Rogers, will host a town hall Sunday, January 11th, to discuss planned repairs and upgrades for Highway 64. Dent will open the meeting at 2 p.m. January 11th at Williams City Hall, 113 South 1st Street. Rogers plans to share current information on the project scheduled for the first 20 miles of Highway 64 from I-40 to Pipeline Road. The Arizona Department of Transportation has committed funds for pavement rehabilitation and turn lane construction, with contract bidding set to begin January the 9th. Sadly, State Route 64 has been the site of many tragic road accidents, Rogers said. Residents rightfully must be heard as to State Route 64 requiring multiple repairs and upgrades. Rogers, who's been actively working on the issue, has pre-filed an appropriations bill requesting additional repairs for the upcoming legislative session, which begins January the 12th. Infrastructure road upgrades are many years in the making. ADOT must study the sites and engineers must design the fixes, Rogers said. My job as your senator is to stay on top of this process. And that's Dent, Rogers to host Highway 64 Town Hall January 11th. Next, we have an article from Calvin Shoemaker. Short-term rental owner has big vision for Valley property. Williams. A short-term rental property in Valley has big plans for expansion. L.A. Anderson, an entrepreneur specializing in the short-term rental space, acquired the Grand Canyon Outpost Resort in March 2025. As president of Wish Tree B&B, Anderson has plans to transform the nearly 2-acre commercially zoned property located off Highway 180 into a destination stay for visitors to the Grand Canyon region. Currently, the property on Langer Lane has 2 homes and can accommodate up to 22 guests. Expansion plans include adding 10 more units, which will increase the capacity to about 65 guests, according to Anderson. The additional units will range from smaller dwellings for couples to larger spaces for families and groups. The planned centerpiece of the property is the High Noon Lagoon, a heated saltwater pool with a retractable dome that's expected to be installed this year. Phase 1 expansion plans also include adding 4 new units and a glass dome with a telescope for stargazing. Anderson says the small, western-themed resort provides a bit of luxury for travelers who can be at Grand Canyon National Park in about 25 minutes. We are excited to be a part of the community and just love the area, the history, and are excited to bring a unique mini resort to the area that has that Western theme with all the modern amenities you would like, Anderson said. As a former resident of Arizona, Anderson believes in the potential of the Valley area, which saw Coconino County approve the sizable McLean Meadows Arcana Resort subdivision last October. I think that area has a lot of potential, Anderson said. I think a lot of good things are going to be coming to the area. Despite the challenges to Northern Arizona tourism in 2025, like the North Rim fires, a prolonged government shutdown, and water restrictions on the South Rim, Anderson said the property has been very busy. We've had a great year despite the little hiccups with the government shutdown and the fires on the North Rim, Anderson said. The Grand Canyon Outpost Resort operates on a hauled water system and has plans to expand its water capacity. To learn more about the property or to book your stay, visit Wishtree BNB, and that's all one word, wishtreebnb.com. That's short-term rental owner has big vision for Valley property. Next, we have local educator thankful for community support during cancer bout. This also from Calvin Shoemaker from the 6th of January, Williams. In March of last year, Jeannie Varnuska underwent a botched lung biopsy that left her hospitalized and unable to work. A cancer diagnosis followed, as did surgery, chemotherapy, and an overwhelming amount of community support from both Williams locals and strangers. A math intervention teacher at Williams Elementary Middle School, Varnuska was blown away by the outpouring of support she and her family received during her bout with cancer. Last September, Varnuska was able to return to work just days after being taken on a life-changing outing with the Flagstaff chapter of Luke 5 Adventures. With the support of more than 30 volunteers known as Sherpas, Varnuska was hauled up Snowball Road by volunteers in an adaptive hiking wheelchair as part of the climb to end cancer, an experience she called beyond amazing. The experience was very near and dear to my heart, with people showing up to support me. People I didn't know that I got to know as they were carrying me up the side of the mountain, Varnuska said. It touched my heart. All the people were there to support me that didn't even know me. That to me is amazing. Now, cancer-free, Varnuska wants people to know how supportive the Williams community can be and how her experience with Luke 5 Adventures was so uplifting amid such a difficult period in her life. There was so much support, Varnuska said. What a wonderful little community. Luke 5 Adventures is a nonprofit organization with 11 chapters across the U.S. that provides outdoor recreational opportunities to people living with disabilities and mobility challenges. The local chapter has led adventures in the Grand Canyon and around the Flagstaff area. That's local educator thankful for community support during cancer bout. Next, new patrol vehicles, a welcome addition at Williams Police Department, by Calvin Shoemaker from Williams. The Williams Police Department got an early Christmas present on December 23rd when one of its brand new patrol trucks rolled into town. With less than 200 miles on the odometer and a sleek black paint scheme, the Chevrolet Silverado brought smiles to all the officers who welcomed it to the station. Sergeant Jerry Wilson was all smiles after driving the truck into town from the auto shop. It's one of five new trucks the department has received or will receive, including one unmarked vehicle. Wilson said his ride is a major upgrade from his previous patrol vehicle, a 2008 Ford 150. The longtime officer added that the addition of the new vehicles is a much welcomed at the police department that has had mechanical issues with its aging fleet of trucks. The first marked truck to arrive last month was paid for by a $98,500 sub-award to Williams Police Department from the Coconino County Sheriff's Office, nearly a $1 million grant awarded by the Arizona Department of Public Safety for local border support. Williams Police Department Chief James Gregory said the other four vehicles are leased by the city. The cost to outfit the new vehicles with all the job requires, such as radio equipment, lights, computers, and other enhancements, costs about $40,000 each, according to Gregory, who told the City Council in October that the vehicles are greatly needed to replace the older mileage vehicles in the fleet. Gregory said the department's officers are ecstatic about the new vehicles and was quick to commend the city's elected officials for their support of the department's needs. And that's new patrol vehicles, a welcomed addition at Williams Police Department. Next, one injured in rollover on Highway 64. Calvin Shoemaker writes, from Williams, one person was flown to the hospital after sustaining injuries in a single vehicle rollover on Highway 64 on the morning of Saturday, January the 3rd. The accident occurred about 6 miles north of Interstate 40 near Williams. A Native 22 helicopter transported the patient to Flagstaff Medical Center after first responders from High Country Fire Rescue stabilized the patient. A section of the highway had to be temporarily shut down due to the emergency response. According to High Country Fire Chief Robert Trotter, the driver was in critical condition after being ejected from the vehicle. On December 6th, one person died in a three-vehicle accident on Highway 64 about 6 miles north of Red Lake. The deceased passenger, a 60-year-old from India, was also ejected. According to the Department of Public Safety, one driver in that fatal accident was arrested for manslaughter-related charges. And that's one injured in rollover on Highway 64. Next, we have miscellaneous ramblings. The New Year's car drop was awesome. Williams is a great little mountain town. I've said it before and was evidenced again last week with the car drop and the great fireworks that followed. Prescott has its boot drop. Flagstaff has its pine cone drop. And it's only appropriate that Williams has its car drop. We definitely are a Route 66 town, and with this being the 100th year anniversary, this makes perfect sense. The car was decorated with rope lights around the tires and inside was lit to really make the classic car look amazing. Williams always does an amazing fireworks display, and this year was no exception. The fireworks were spectacular. Many thanks to those who put this quality event together, and I hope it is a great annual event. Happy New Year to everyone, and let's pray for a great one for all. That's by Mark Worden of the Williams Riders Group facilitator. Miscellaneous ramblings, the New Year's car drop was awesome. Next, we have some sports notes. High school wrestling season in full swing. The Williams High School wrestling team started off the 2025-26 season by earning 5 medals at the first tournament of the year. The boys' team earned 3 medals with Russell Skinner taking first place in his weight class. The girls' team brought home 2 medals. The Vikings will be hosting a home duel on Wednesday, January 21st, at the high school. Then we have the Hoops Roundup. Vikings compete in New Year's tourney. This by Calvin Shoemaker. The Williams High School varsity basketball teams competed in the Epic Tourney's New Year's Classic in the Phoenix area, January 2nd through the 3rd. The boys' team faced all 2A and 3A schools and went 1-3 with a victory over Round Valley. The Vikings are 2-0 in their conference this season and 1-0 in the region. The Williams girls went 2-2 in the tournament with wins over Hopi and Veritas. The Lady Vikings are 1-0 in the region and 1-1 in the 1A conference. Williams High School has 2 home games this week. The Vikings host Seligman on Wednesday, January the 7th, before Grand Canyon comes to town on Saturday, January the 10th. The varsity girls' games begin at 5:30. Below are the scores from the holiday tournament. Boys, Horizon Honors 59, Williams 53. Tuba City 59, Williams 44. Round Valley 49, Williams 57. Horizon Honors 67, Williams 36. Then we have for the girls, Hopi 49, Williams 52. Dishabikok 47 and Williams 42. Veritas 38, Williams 44, Hopi 44, Williams 27. And that's Hoops Roundup. Vikings compete in New Year's tourney. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Hoffman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org. And you can also download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store or from the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Our next article is by Aaron Chatters, special to WGCN. Get outdoors, hike the Arizona Trail as your New Year's resolution. January events, rabbit, squirrel, waterfowl, and quail open all month. Archery deer open in some units. Check if your harvest limits met. Elk and antelope draw due soon. Being a lifelong hunter and fisher, I've always been an avid hiker as well. I travel wherever it's necessary to get meat for the table, but I rarely hike just for fun and almost never on a trail. My wife enjoys trail hiking as she can relax and enjoy nature, not having to dedicate any thought to where she is or where she wants to go next. Instead, just following the trail in front of her for years. She dreamed of us hiking the 800-mile-long Arizona Trail together. Last summer, not ready to commit to such a huge undertaking, I reluctantly agreed to hike the Grand Canyon rim to rim with her instead. Our plan was to hike it in a single, exhausting day. For weeks, I began training. I hiked a 5-mile loop around our neighborhood with a 30-pound pack every day. I was finally ready, but the Dragon Bravo fire had other plans for me. Since the North Rim was shut down, we decided to hike a 30-mile portion of the Arizona Trail instead. The trip started out as a favor to my wife, but after seeing cool caves, finding antlers, and having a 20-yard showdown with a bear, I became obsessed. Every minute we weren't physically on the trail, we were still there mentally. The Arizona Trail was a brainchild of Flagstaff school teacher Dale Shewater in the 1970s. He hiked from Nogales to Utah in 1985 to prove its feasibility. Shewater gathered excitement around the project, and countless people worked hard on new trails to connect existing ones until the continuous path from Mexico to Utah was completed in 2011. Roughly 100 people a year complete the journey by traversing a total of 118,000 feet in elevation change as the trail winds over numerous mountains and across the largest canyon on Earth. At 800 miles, it's equivalent to hiking from Williams to Helena in the center of Montana if one walked in a straight line. A hike up Mount Everest typically starts at an elevation of 16,404 feet to reach a summit at 29,032 feet. The Arizona Trail is equivalent to 9 Everest summits, but exceeds this in length. The fastest anyone has hiked it was in 13 days by Joe Stringbing McConaughey at the average of 61 miles a day. This is a record likely to hold for some time. Anyone can visit aztrail.org for these and additional facts about the trail until they have sufficiently talked themselves out of doing it. That's not my goal with this article. I want to impress upon you that anyone complete it, especially you. If you're going to hike it continuously, it's best to start at the Mexican border in March, April, or the Utah border in October or November. Springtime hiking will make it easier on locating water, but often you can drop water where the trail intersects roads so that it's waiting to quench your thirst at a later date. The AZT is divided into 43 passages that mark easier starting and stopping points. My wife and I are hiking a few passages a month rather than doing a bold start-to-finish adventure. At this pace, we'll complete it in about 2 years. Once a trail is open from rim to rim, we hope to complete this most challenging section in a single day. Hiking across the Grand Canyon is equivalent to doing a marathon with 10 pounds of water on your back while you ascend over a mile in elevation at the end of the hike. It doesn't have to be done in a day, but to do it otherwise requires getting permits and carrying sleeping gear. Speaking of gear, after hiking over 200 miles of the trail, I have some nuggets for you. For hiking the Arizona Trail, I prefer Merrell mid-height boots with Vibram soles. They're medium on cost, but last very long and are comfortable and can even be found at Mountain Man Mercantile in Williams. Danners are even more durable, but are heavy for my taste. I rub Vaseline on my heels and toes before putting on my padded socks. If you're a guy, Vaseline is a must-have for other areas that tend to rub as well. I use a gallon of water a day with Gatorade powder added to a quarter strength. Meals are always designed to have plenty of protein to satisfy my quads after a long day on the trail. Homemade deer jerky is my favorite as it has protein and the salt needed for my body to hang on to moisture. If I'm able to drop water and camping gear, I only use a small pack capable of carrying a gallon of water, first aid, snacks, and a pistol. For more remote areas, a larger 40 to 50 pound pack is required as it contains sleeping gear, extra water, and a coffee pot to boil natural water sources for 3 minutes to make it safe for consumption. The trail should be an experience you tailor to be your own. Whether you do it in a single 3 month span or make it a lifelong journey, you're sure to do more for your physical and mental health than watching television for that same time frame. If you can't hike it with someone else, consider bringing a satellite phone. I suggest a pistol for protection, but bear spray could be used instead. The trail goes through some very remote areas where anything can happen. For me, the trail represents another time. You often don't see anyone all day long, or signs that mankind has affected the landscape other than the familiar dirt path in front of you. I hope you're inspired to start the Arizona Trail or even just take a day hike. Sedona can be nice this time of year. Get outdoors, and I'll see you next month. That's Aaron Chatters. Get outdoors. Hike the Arizona Trail as your New Year's resolution. Then we have Grand Canyon Conservancy announces artists, astronomers in residence. Grand Canyon Conservancy's residency program supports Grand Canyon National Park's priorities of dark sky preservation and inclusive storytelling by welcoming artists, scholars, and scientists from throughout the world to explore and contribute to Grand Canyon's historic and cultural legacy. The artists and astronomers engage the public in meaningful ways, adding to the collective scholarship on the region and celebrating the rich environmental, spiritual, and cultural impact Grand Canyon has on the world. The Artist in Residence program offers artists the opportunity to practice and share their discipline with park visitors at one of the most beautiful sites in the world. Through impactful, site-specific, community-engaged work, the program seeks to inspire the community to deepen their knowledge of Grand Canyon. The Astronomer in Residence program offers astronomers and dark sky advocates from diverse fields the opportunity to practice and share their discipline with park visitors under one of the most pristine night skies in the United States. Through educational outreach and creative connection, the program inspires visitors to see the value of night skies, spread awareness about the threats of light pollution, and explore society's complex relationship with natural darkness. Meet the residents. The 2026 residents come from Golden, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Brooklyn, New York, Mill Valley, California, and Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Artists Nicole Banowitz and Devin Riley, March 8th to May 9th. Nicole Banowitz and Devin Riley collaborate on performative sculptures. They find fascinating and beautiful organisms in the natural world to recreate into wearable and inflatable structures, sculptures rather, which they photograph out in the environment or use in surreal performances. They began collaborating in 2017 when founding the Active Artist Group, BAAM. In 2022, they put all their belongings into storage to become a nomadic art-making duo. They created a giant floating art installation for the Bosch Parade in the Netherlands in 2024 and have completed numerous residences together, including Sculpture Space in New York, the Aquarium Gallery in New Orleans, Lakeside Lab in Iowa, and Lookout Arts Quarry in Washington. During their residency, Nicole and Devin will work with the community and park visitors to tell ecological stories with giant inflatable sculptures and costumes. Tiny creatures will evolve at a giant scale. Their work will address climate change imagining, future pollination, and species adaptation in the Grand Canyon. Banowitz is from Colorado, where she studied art and found a passion for sewing large inflatable sculptures. She showed work in large international exhibitions such as the Amsterdam Light Festival, Bad Arts Hot Air in London, Open Art in Sweden, and Passages Insolites in Quebec City, and taken part in environmental exhibitions in California, Colorado, Connecticut, and Finland. Her largest gallery installations were shown in the Denver Art Museum, the Longmont Museum, and Wonder Spaces. Riley was born in Kansas but moved to Colorado, where he met Nicole, and their love of microscopic creatures brought them together. Riley originally studied illustration but found that he preferred sculpture and began to focus on wearable sculpture pieces. He worked for many years as a commercial sculptor, gaining skills in a variety of materials and processes. Well, that's all the time that we have for Grand Canyon Conservancy Announces Artists and Astronomers in Residence. Hopefully we can pick up with the ones from April on, perhaps next week. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to thank you for joining me for this Thursday edition of Northland Views and remind you that you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on sunsounds.org or on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show.